with the intro.
All right. My name is Sutton. That is John. This is the Self-Care Disciples podcast.
We put out episodes weekly. You can find us on all platforms that stream podcasts.
Check us out on YouTube. We'd appreciate if you sub, leave a comment, put on automatic downloads, all that bullshit that we need to please the algorithms, boner.
We'd also suck you off if you give us a 5-star review on Spotify and Apple. And don't forget to turn on those automatic downloads.
Oh, please do it. Nipple fuck. Anyways.
You got any merch updates?
I have so much new merch. You can't even fucking put that one in there because that was way cooler than any goddamn sound bit. I have 5 new prints. Count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Diggy Williams has released 4 Pokemon Flash prints and a just regular print. I don't know all the names of them. I'm not a Pokemaster. He is. Do you catch them all? I don't know. Go to the site and buy them, and then you can. That's all I got. I have 5 days left of my $1,000 tattoo giveaway. I have 3 winners. Next week, I'll be announcing the winner on the podcast. How fucking cool is that? So you guys will hear it a week late. Woo-woo! That's it.
Speaking of a week late, we're still running the 20% off, right? How long is that running for? The podcast exclusive coupon?
Yeah, a week.
So, yeah, a week.
Technically, today it ends.
Let's say this comes out Thursday. So, since
we'll end it Thursday.
And we'll end it Friday. You know, because some people get paid on Friday.
All right. We'll end it Friday. What was the coupon code again? I don't remember.
Disciples? I think it's Disciples.
Yeah, I think it was like Disciple 20.
I'll put it right here.
Put it right
when
there.
When I remember. Because I haven't edited the last one either.
All right, well.
I'm really slacking.
Hey, dude, we're only 2 people, and we're doing like 15 people's jobs. So what's your merch update? You got anything?
Oh, wait. Oh, yeah.
This is something I want to say. I released the PMA tapestries today for free because I have hundreds of them that were misprints. I switched between tapestry manufacturers without knowing about 4 times because my main manufacturer is actually more of a broker. She's kind of a middleman, but she's the best. I fucking love her. Joy, you're the best. I know you don't listen to this because you have no idea I record a podcast, but I wanted to put it out in the energy in the world that you're the fucking coolest.
She is the coolest.
And yeah, and John uses her too for things. Anyway, I put them out for free because they got fucked up in printing and they're not terrible. So I was like, I'll just charge shipping. Shipping's $5 or $6. I put 100 of them on there. If I sell 100 of them, I'll put the other 100 on because I know I at least have 250. I've given
a
handful.
That's a great promotional thing right there.
Bro, I've done like $1,200 in sales today because people will just add the free one to their cart and either buy it or add a bunch of other shit to their cart and then check out. So, yeah, there's a lot of them that I'm literally making nothing on, but I'm getting rid of stuff and giving people stuff. And it's not getting thrown away, so I'm totally cool with that. And yeah, it's cool stuff that doesn't need to get wasted. So, yeah, what you got for merch?
What did I do today, considering I haven't posted in like almost 2 weeks? Did $173. That's not bad for not doing anything.
I'm wrong. I'm sorry. I didn't do 12. I did $898.99 today.
Dude, I've never broken. I don't think I've ever.
I'm projecting 12 by the end of the night, though, because it's only 11:09, and yeah. I've been doing at least 100 to 200 an hour for the last few hours because I only released these for sale at like 1 o'clock. So, or actually, I mean, if you want to talk about 24 hours, it's only hasn't even been 12, and I've almost cracked a grand. So that's not bad.
Yeah, I don't think I've like. I've only cracked a grand once, and I'm like,
bro, you don't know what's cool though, and I didn't even think about this. I totally manifested this. Holy fuck! I put this on my board. I'll send you a picture of it. I put on my board the other night, I was up till like 4 a.m. and I put, you need to make $2,000 a day for 10 months so that you can have 2 months off to fuck off. Because if I did that, I would make over $500,000.
Yeah.
Which is more than enough reason for me to fuck off for 2 months and be able to spread 2 months out throughout the year for vacations. So if I'm looking at, I've almost hit a G, I've hit $900 in 11 hours. Hey, baby, that's almost
two
G's in 24 if it keeps going. So manifestation.
You know what? Maybe that's what I need to do. Because like, I've like said it out loud where I was like, you know what?
I wrote it on the whiteboard.
We're going to make 10 grand a month. 10 grand a month.
No.
You know, that's like the lucky number for every small business.
40.
So what about 40? 40 a month?
40 a month for a brand our size is average.
Well, that's not true. I'd like to see that study.
Okay. I can show you 2 years of sales where I was averaging $35,000 a month. And I can show you takeout order. Well, I can't show you, but I can ask takeout order. I can ask Born Dead. I can ask Doomsday Co. I can
those are
ask,
all bigger. Those are all those brands are bigger than my brand.
They're not that much bigger.
It's just that the public perception of my brand.
Bro, you know? We're in the same circle. You're just perceiving them bigger than that. Your brand is huge, bro. Your brand is huge. Right now, our brand's flip-flopped. And I feel like I went from like, I was killing shit. And you were like, what the fuck? What's he doing? I don't get it. And then you were like, I fucking get it. And I was like, I'm tired.
No, that's not true. Like nothing. Dude, I've never made the same the amount of money that you've made.
Doesn't matter money-wise. It's energy and it's fun. It's not the money. It's like I can tell when I see, like I just saw the other day, I was scrolling and like, you know how sometimes you're sitting with a buddy and they're sitting kind of close with you and you're scrolling. So they kind of just look at your screen and then you end up scrolling together and you're like, oh, you know, we're just watching funny videos together or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Well, that was happening on Facebook with me and Julie. And then a sleep terror ad came on. And I was like, fuck yeah, this is a sick ad. You had that like video background with like the witches and stuff. And I was very impressed by it. And I was like, damn, this is sick, dude. Like, this is the type of shit that I need to be doing. And Julie was like, yeah, no, John's killing it. And I said, look, if it weren't for John right now, I wouldn't have anything to like try to compare myself and or catch up to, because there's no other brand that I give a shit about enough to try to like be as good as other than yours. Cause yours is the only one that I care about enough other than Jacobs. And Jacobs is always going to be like, I feel like the same as mine because he's taking a break right now on his brand. And I am kind of too. So I'm taking a break on some things.
Well, you have a lot of stuff going on.
It's on the back burner like a motherfucker, dude. But I'm gonna take all my apparel off soon and relaunch, I think.
That sounds good. It's always nice to start fresh, you know? Bro, solve a coagula, man. You break it down to rebuild something even better. Build something completely different. What'd you say?
So let's do... I said salam adanius.
Oh, assalamu alaikum, bro.
Yeah, alaikum assalam.
But yeah, I think I need to write it down to make this like manifestation real, to make myself believe. Okay.
Yes.
This is not a manifestation board, but because you mentioned whiteboard,
I want to see your whiteboard.
I'm a
girl, truck, beer, dirt road, whiskey, anything patriotic. So, all right, hold on. Give me 10 seconds. I'm going to write you a country song. I want you to, you can already hear the twang in my voice. I want you to give me a country riff via vocal, and I'm going to write you a country song. Come on, bro. Girl, truck, beer, dirt, road, whiskey, anything patriotic. Girl, beer, dirt, whiskey, road, patriotic, truck, dirt, anything. There you go. That's a fucking country pop hit. I should be next to Taylor. scooping her little flat ass up in the air, dancing. Dude,
but this thing was
$3,000 tickets.
So I had like one of the best weekends of the year, like hands down, top.
Hit me.
Definitely number one right now. Best day of the year so far. So I woke up. I had like a really kind of night's sleep. It was all right. But I woke up feeling so fresh. Like I woke up at 6 a.m., played with the dogs. I got so much stuff done, you know, and I had two of my buddies coming over that night. So I was like, okay, we got to get a lot of stuff done today. I just remember absolutely killing it with like my home life stuff. And then I obviously worked on podcasts for a little bit, the highlights, and I was actually exporting them when my friend Dan came over. I was like, okay, it's exporting, you know, I'll set it up so it automatically is done. Obviously we both know that didn't happen. The automatic upload stuff didn't happen until today.
You goddamn right.
But so Dan came over. We were planning to celebrate St. Patty's together. My wife's out of town, so I'm like, free crib, guys! And
you guys want to touch?
Dan's like, has been my best friend since the age of 13 years old. So we go way back.
You go back past afros and shitting in diapers.
No, but we have pooed ourselves. Not
Man,
together.
Just agree. God damn. Just agree.
Okay. But anyway, he came over and we're chilling and we're like just shooting the shit. He's like talking to me about his dating life and all this stuff. And I'm trying to gas him up, get ready for this date because he's talking to this real cute redhead who's got a Mewtwo body.
Oh, I love a redhead.
I like a Mewtwo body. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. You got that fat top. Skinny waist and fat bottom, baby. It's like a Coca-Cola bottle. Mm-hmm.
And dude, we were like, we were just jamming out to all these like old tunes. I was showing him Sangle Sigle Bog and all these like new slam dance.
Say it slow so the ladies on YouTube can see your tongue do that. One more game.
Sangle Sigle Bog.
La 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 blah. That sounds sexual.
It means a vampire toilet.
Definitely sexual.
Suck the shit out.
I'll be your plunger.
And so I was like showing him all these like new death metal bands and a bunch of hardcore bands. And dude was getting into it. And dude, I'll tell you this right now. He's the nerdiest kid you'll ever meet. And it takes him a little bit to kind of get with it. You know, he's like a little anxious guy. So I was like, all right, gotta gas Dan up so we have a good night. And then my buddy Max comes over. And the funny part is they both have PhDs. Both love metal, all this shit. And they so start like, nerding out and they're
you
talking
say PhD
metal.
And metal. You're thinking like, I'm thinking like math metal, yes?
No. So Dan loves death metal. Favorite band is Cannibal Corpse.
Okay. Literally, when I think death metal, first band I think of.
Yeah. Like, he loves all the Florida shit.
Okay.
And then Max, on the other hand, he's more into, like, Children of Bodom. He likes a lot of, like, Swedish bands, like Insomnium and those kind of things. But then again, he also really likes a lot of, like, metalcore bands. Trivium, Killswitch, As I Lay Dying.
Anyway, sorry, go ahead. You were saying.
Oh, no, it's fine. So we just started, like, you know, just having a good time. Just the drinks were flowing. We had, like, an 18-pack of Coors. Obviously had to have the Guinness. And so I was like, oh, you know what? Normally I'm in charge of the music when we hang out. So I just play whatever. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to do one better. And I'm just going to start queuing up songs from our childhood and see what happens.
Give him some trigger some core memories.
I start throwing in like those core songs, right? Just kind of like targeting both of them so that they like become better friends. And every single time I put songs that like every metalhead would recognize, they go like this, ooh, what? Dude, it was fucking hilarious. Next thing you know, we're fucking doing karaoke.
Oh God, you gotta love that. Dude, that's when like so right, good. The last time I had a moment like this was I was tattooing my buddy Justin. I started his sleeve with a big ass like quarter sleeve piece of a fox and some flowers and arrows and shit for his son. His name is Sterling Fox or Fox Sterling or some shit. Damn, I don't know, man.
Do porn?
Nah, dude, he's into Mustangs and
might as well be doing
Archer Fox. Yeah, no, the Sterling part I made up because that's from Archer, the show. Yeah. Anyways, I did this big ass piece on him, and we're listening to Scary Kids Scaring Kids' first album.
Love
which
that.
Is oh my God. Now on Apple Music, and it wasn't for the longest time. And I'm playing it, and he goes, "What the fuck? Where'd you get this?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "I haven't been able to find this for years." I was like, "Dude, it's on Apple Music. Chill." And he's over there like, like fucking getting it, dude. I'm like, "You need to stop fucking moving. I'm tattooing your arm." He's like, fucking moving, like trying to use me as a microphone and shit. Like almost grabs the tattoo machine. I'm like, "Justin, chill, bro. I love you. I've known you for the longest time, and I loved that I'm tattooing you right now, but I'll fuck you up." And I literally had to check him, like, "Hey, dude, chill. This is like, I need to be professional right now." And he was like,
"Okay." Dude, what you should have done is drop the machine and just gone with it, just sang along.
Do you know how many times I quite literally air guitared? Like, I would stop tattooing him and then air guitar with the machine, or I would like drop it and then rip my gloves off, and we would start like fucking picking pennies up off the ground and mosh, and then we'd get back to tattooing. This, I tattooed him until almost 4 a.m. that night. It was only like a 5-hour tattoo, and we started at like 8 o'clock. We were getting in, we were having fun, and I might have been drinking.
That's fine. But, you know, bro, we had, like, just to cap off the story, dude, we had so much fun. And, we did. So we were picking songs, right? We were like, "All right, who's next? Who's next?" And we would, like, queue it up like it was an actual karaoke bar. And the best part is, this is, like, so I haven't drawn in months at this point. So I was like, "Fuck it, iPad." Because on Spotify, you can do the karaoke thing.
I didn't know and that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and so we were doing Holy Diver by Dio, and bro, that song, I'm so sorry, but that song is
garbage.
Is so dumb. And we were it's having so garbage. Much fun with the "Oh yeah!
Holy Diver!"
Yeah, no.
But things went a little sour when my buddy Max played the song the something about Richmond, like that blue collar dude who wrote this song about like you know, basically the rent's too high and shit. I don't know if you know that
like
song.
Redhead dude that like
he's like
"Oh man, oh yeah, he should run for president, man." You're like, "No, he wrote a shitty song."
It's not a shitty song, but anyway,
you know what I mean.
Things got a little weird because we were
played.
Yeah, but you know, like I gotta look it up. I gotta pull a Joe Rogan. Jamie, what's that song called? Oh, got it. Richmond, North of Richmond. That's the song. And it took me a minute.
What's his name?
Oliver Anthony.
There you go, Oliver Tree Anthony.
You say you can't trust a man with two first names, but you know what? I trust Oliver Anthony. That should be his presidential slogan.
Yeah, whatever, John.
But anyway, bitch, dude. I don't care what anyone says, that song is legit because, bro, living in America right now is fucking hard for everyone. I don't care what political affiliation.
It's really expensive.
Dude, this fucking country is a ghetto-ass country right now.
I'm literally making more money than I've ever made in my life. And well, not more money than I've... Well, no, technically, I've never made this much as profit in my life. But I've never been in more debt, and I've never been poorer in money. Like, I'm, as far as assets and like friends and love are concerned, fucking great.
Yeah, the non tangible stuff.
As far as
stuff,
money like, is concerned, fuck me, right?
Dude, I feel the same way. Like, I've never made this as much money as I have now with like my corporate job, my business stonks. But at the same time, I'm like, where is it all
Did
going,
you say stonk?
Man? Yeah. I love that. Like, where the fuck is my money going?
I was literally watching. I got in some kind of wormhole last night of watching gambling videos of some. There's like gambling influencers now, and they got me. I was like, I'm gonna go to the casino, put 100 on blackjack. Oh no, I'm not gonna do it. I'm gonna do it. No, I'm not gonna do it.
Dude, you should watch Dana White gamble, bro. That guy.
Oh my god. I didn't know he did that. He's hilarious,
bro. He's banned from a lot of casinos for blackjack.
Wow, really?
He has a problem. Yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
But yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah, things got a little weird when the Rich Man North of Richmond song came on, because then we started having a little debate about politics, because Dan didn't agree with the song, because he's a little bit more liberal than most. And, you know, we were just spitting facts like, bro.
What do you mean he's a little more liberal than most?
Like, he was just like, he was listening to the lyrics and he immediately associated it with like conservative views. When the song has nothing to do with being conservative. It's about, why am I paying this much money to just like live? And it feels like I'm living paycheck to paycheck. I think everyone, doesn't matter what political affiliation you have, like everyone can relate with that right now.
100%.
You know?
And it doesn't matter who you are right now.
Right.
If you're listening to a podcast like this, you're living paycheck to paycheck. Sorry to burst your bubble.
Yeah, I mean, because this shit's free. This shit's free right now. So suck it up. Watch the YouTube ads. Okay. Yeah,
flick my taint, motherfucker. I mean, 5-star review. Same thing. Whichever. Buy a print. Like,
we had this nice bonding moment because we had to like humble Dan for a second. I was like, bro, fuck your political agenda. You literally work at 3 schools. You work at 3 different schools in New Jersey that's a 2-hour commute away. And you're telling me that you're living the dream? Uh-uh.
You should have been like, hey, nope. Buddy, you realize that you suck so many dicks just to get to work. It's fucking retarded.
Well, here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. They're both teachers. Max is a professor at Rutgers, and Dan is a high school teacher. So that's probably the worst job you could have right now as like a white collar job.
Yeah, those are awful jobs.
Well, Max kind of makes his own hours, and he also works for NASA. So that's pretty cool.
But what the fuck does he actually do at NASA?
Literally tells, well, his he teaches planetary science at Rutgers, and for NASA he's a consultant for Mars. Mars.
But I bet his consultants is like, all right guys, here what we got here is the strain of a certain potato that can live 48 days after harvest. So technically, almost have 2 months to eat this. I think we could get at least 26 people on this next mission, and they could survive a total of 19 months before perishing.
No, I think his
potatoes.
If I were a consultant for like a Mars project, I'd just be like,
you just have to get on it.
Invaders from Mars, yeah.
Mars attacks, bro. I love that.
But dude, it was such a fun night. I want, and now I'm like chasing it where I'm like, oh, I kind of want to like do it again this weekend since my wife's away. But I know I have shit to do.
Your wife's away this weekend? Yeah. Damn it. No, I can't do it this weekend. This weekend I'm going to get a bunch of furniture with Diggy, but I don't have a wife to tell me to do things. Let's have a boys weekend soon. You want to have a boys weekend? Upstate New York, me, you, Diggy, and Dad. We'll just have a Sopranos night. We can all dress up like different Sopranos.
So we're just going to meet in the middle?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
why the fuck not? No, we all just rent an Airbnb for a weekend and just go wild. go ham.
I was going to say something. Because I'm so bad at surprises. You know, I'm going to let Julie and I'm going to let Jackie know. I'm not going to let you know, but it's for me to know and you to find out.
What the fuck kind of bullshit? Let me tell you right now, John. Let me just move my microphone a little closer. Secrets don't make friends.
Bro, it blows my mind that you don't know who Joey Diaz is, because you sound exactly like...
I know exactly who Joey Diaz is. He's my grandfather. I'm just kidding. No, man, but he's the fucking man. He's the guy that's always on Joe Rogan's podcast and makes all the funniest hilarious.
No, I don't know what he does. Is he a comedian?
He's a comedian. Like... He's an actor, comedian, yeah. But he's just naturally funny as fuck. He's the guy who's like, look here, you pussy. Wake up today. Go out there. Make some fucking bread, okay? No one's stopping you to get in there. Knead the dough and stick it in the oven, you stupid bitch. Pull it out, slice it, and sell it, okay? Joey Diaz.
Bro, he's like, if we're talking about Pokemon, and I'm sure Diggy will agree with me, Joey Diaz is the evolved version of Andrew Clay Dice.
100%. I never realized that, but
I love you. Right. I love that shit.
What do you mean?
Were you ever a fan? Were you ever a fan of George Carlin?
Oh my god, are you fucking dumb shit, cunt, piss, lick, dick, sticking fucking?
We're never gonna get monetized. We're gonna get demonetized before we even apply.
I literally don't care. But he's of course I am. Are you kidding me? First of all, when I was a kid, I used to watch the show he was on that he played like the conductor with like the little fucking change thing or whatever. And I had no idea who he was until I grew up and like saw his stand up and you see like the seven deadly sins and like all the cuss words that get all the ones I just said pretty much. He's like shit, piss, cunt,
yeah,
blah 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 blah. He like says all
got the reference, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude.
If anyone else didn't get the reference, that's what's from.
Like, I don't care that much about comedians, right? But I feel like, do you think if George Carlin was alive today, do you think he'd be canceled? Or do you think like he would be like, you know, because that dude talks a lot of truth in his comedy. It's a very unique flavor of comedy.
I think there's a few people that are close to George Carlin these days that you've seen get canceled. And one of them's Dave Chappelle.
But I consider Dave Chappelle that still that like tail end of that generation.
Exactly. So it's like if Carlin were here, what would happen? That's what I'm saying. He's one of my all time favorite comedians, and it's because he pushes the limit. He makes you think, and you don't always agree with him. He pushes it so far to where sometimes you can't tell if he's kidding or if he really is a piece of shit and just says these things for laughs, or if he's trying to make you think.
I think it's the latter.
I think it's the latter too, of course. That's why he's one of my favorites. He's trying to make you think. He wants you to question everything. He wants comedy to have no limit. And that's his whole philosophy in a nutshell.
Speaking of, so I recently got back into listening to podcasts because of our podcast. And I
noticed that you've been sending me a lot of clips.
Dude, it's so difficult to find like a podcast that you can listen to where you can zone out but also listen at the same time. Because I listen to podcasts while I work, right? And like last podcast on the left is like too funny almost.
Well, they're too chaotic for me.
Yeah, three hosts are wild. And it's wild to me that you have to subscribe to the Patreon to watch the video. Like, it's 2024. Just fucking put the video out on YouTube. Like, don't be greedy about it. Fucking just make your YouTube ad money. Give the people what they want. Morbid also, like, I can't do history ones, or I can't do true crime for some reason because I get too invested.
Yeah, I got to be doing a certain thing. Like if I'm cleaning the house, washing dishes, something like that, totally. Yeah. But if I'm packing orders or like trying to draw, fuck no.
I think so. Like if I'm going to draw, I think I could do last podcast and I could do morbid. Can't do it during my the working hours of the corporate slavery because I'm looking for an escape. I'm looking for something that I can use in the back of my head that's like stimulating, right? Stimulating enough that I can do my work and just like have that momentum to keep going and keep me awake. So I went through so many podcasts, bro. I tried to listen to Andrew Schultz Flagrant, Too Chaotic, because they got fucking like six hosts. It's like the Slipknot of podcasts. And there's every no single one of them, just dude, all of them are fucking laughing and it's like eat it's just dick. Too much.
Fuck.
And I like Tiger's Belly with Bobby Lee. That's a good one.
I've actually never listened to it, but I've seen a lot of clips of him and his co-host.
Oh, yeah.
And wife, his co-host is like
his girlfriend, like Kalila. Yeah.
I think I'm thinking of a different podcast.
Oh, you're talking about Redhead Boy.
Yes.
Like, I'm Bobby Mom. I'm Bobby Mom.
How many Bobby Lee podcasts? How many podcasts does Bobby Lee have?
Two.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Bad Friends. Yeah. That's his second podcast.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I'm like trying to not be the redhead version. I'm not trying to be the redhead to your Bobby Lee. You know what I'm slaying?
Yeah. Like,
I mean, it'd be funny, but I'm not a comedian, so I'm not trying to push it like that. But
Andrew Santino, that's him.
I think he's hilarious, though. And you know where I saw him first was on Dave, the show I forget what network it's on, but Lil Dicky's show, Dave. It's hilarious. Hi, I'm Dave.
Dude, I heard his show on Hulu is really good.
That's what it is. Yeah, Dave.
Yeah. Dude, hilarious. I love Lil Dicky.
See, there's an episode with him and this DJ, recorder guy, what do you call him? Producer. Fuck, I forget his goddamn name. I don't know any of these fuckers' names, but they become like best friends and they do mega gay shit together. Like the gayest shit. It's hilarious. It's just like bromance times gay. Like he tries to blow a bubble with bubblegum with his ass by farting and then gets bubblegum stuck in his ass hair and the other guy is trimming it out for him. That is how deep it goes on Lil Dicky's show. If you're not prepared to watch something like that and that's not your type of humor, well then get the fuck out of here. I don't know why you're listening to this podcast.
Dude, first of all, if your bromance isn't at least like 60% gay,
at least. Thank you.
Not worth having.
You know what? That brings us into our topic. Bromances.
They're necessary. Our topic
this week is bromances. Okay?
Bromances, like 60% gay, that's what a real man is.
Look, 60% of the time, I'm going to jokingly talk about sucking your dick every time. 60%. As long as we're close. And I feel like I just brought this topic
up. That's how you give a blowjob, baby.
On a completely random note for John, because we were going to have a different type of session. But I'm thinking bromance is a good topic because, one, we're like 30 minutes in, at least, into recording. We didn't even do our check-in after the merch update. We just kind of spun with it. So let's go ahead and say,
right now, bro.
Well, we did our check-in technically, but we didn't like do our like intro bullshit to our check-in. So,
dude, we're doing it live. We're doing it live.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. Fuck it.
This week's episode is about bromances. And I want to start it off by saying, yeah, most girls are going to think it's a little gay, especially because bromances involve pushing your limits of heterosexuality. You will say some of the gayest shit just to try to one-up your friend and make them feel uncomfortable. It's hilarious. It's a weird thing we do where we push the limit. Like, Diggy is probably the best at it, and that's one of the reasons why I want to bring up bromances, because this motherfucker, we just released all these prints. I made a whole section on the website of his art. He has like 10 items on the website. His life, like, I wholeheartedly look up to Diggy so big. His life is exactly what I wish my life was if I didn't create self-care and chose the path that I did, because this is what I imagine his life is like. All right. He had a really shitty childhood, yada, yada, yada. If you don't, you can't become an artist. Sorry. He became an artist. He met up with me. He started tattooing at a shop where he was comfortable. He started pumping out way better tattoos. He started getting way cooler clients, which made him even more comfortable, which made him get married, get a house, get cooler clients, raise his prices, start releasing the sickest flash he's ever released, and do every single thing that he's wanted to majorly in his life. Go to vacations in other continents. Go to, I don't know, vacations, period. Like, shit that I don't do for myself. He has the best boundaries that any of my coworkers have, which is a topic that I feel like is just begging to come up on our show. He has a work ethic that's strong, consistent, but those boundaries are still in play pretty heavily. Like, the last 2 days, he was sick as fuck. He even came in one of them, but then left because he was still sick. He was like, I can't do it. This motherfucker knows when to go home. I will come in no matter how I feel. Unless I know I'm going to get someone else sick or I'm like throwing up, I will come in. I may be coming at 2 o'clock, but I'm coming in. And this motherfucker kills it. And I sent him a picture earlier of his section on the site, and he was like, I feel like a real tattooer. And I was like, dude, get the fuck out of here. I was like, don't make me talk to you.
You are a real tattooer.
I said, you're real tattooer? I was like, you're literally the best tattooer in Uniontown. You're the best tattooer in Uniontown. I told him when he started with me, I was like, you're going to be that guy. You're going to be the dude that everyone wants to come to. And everyone's like, yo, Diggy works down here. Like, that's where we got to go. And he's going to bring me and everyone else that works here, all the people. And that's exactly what he's done. He's opened the door for this entire shop. I couldn't have done it without him or Dad, but I wanted to shout him out on the bromance for that. And Dad as well, because Dad's opening up a goddamn, I'm going to call it a hippie shop. I don't know what else to call it. It's going to have
some weed.
It's going to have some tapestries. It's a hippie shop, dog. Today he was drawing on the couch, and I go, Dad, what you doing? He goes, putting in a glass order. I was like, glass order? Oh, okay. He goes, yeah, and then I'm putting up my paper order, which means he's going to order like fucking 20,000 papers and like 20,000 wraps, and I'm never going to have to leave my house to buy papers again. Thank God. I'll just buy them from Dad. Yo, he'll literally, I'll be able to put Dad in business. I probably spend $100 a month at the head shop.
Why hasn't anyone like made like rolling papers like by the spool? Like a roll. That's what I want to know. They do that. Okay. But
Raw makes everything.
Bro, so no disrespect to Dad, but I like do not like the Grateful Dead. I hate the Grateful Dead. And
I'm not gonna lie to you, I used to, but he made me like them because there's more songs of theirs than you think.
I like Grateful Dead's imagery. I love Grateful Dead's imagery. I love their logo. I love the gummy bears.
Me too.
And gummy bears. Are they not gummy bears?
They're dead bears. They're not gummy bears.
They're gummy bears.
They look like walking gummy bears. Okay.
Yeah. So
don't say that to a deadhead out loud. Oh my God, I feel like he's going to scout me as I listen to this.
100%. bro, I will 100% say that to a Grateful Dead.
I'm literally imagining where I'm sitting is my station, and I'm imagining looking at him at his station while listening to this and saying, yeah, they do look like gummy bears, and him just turning and going,
They're not gummy bears.
I'm like, I'm sorry, Dad.
But, you know, like, that's just my preference. And dude, I know how diehard, like, Grateful Dead fans are. Because, like, when I was in Vermont,
they call them dead
everywhere. Kill you, Irvin. You know, but I do want to order something from Harvest is Life. Because, like, the mandala stuff is so cool. And, like, if it wasn't for COVID, I would have never really appreciated tie-dye, because Celeste and I, we made tie-dye shirts, and, like, they're I love wearing them, even though I don't really, like, look right in them, because I tend to wear darker clothing. But you slap me in some fucking Hoochie Daddy shorts and a tie-dye shirt, put a Frisbee in my hand, bro, I'll bromance you all day. We could have a one-night bromance.
Speaking of Hoochie Daddies, I gotta say, I have a customer out there who is so fucking cool. He knows who he is. I'm gonna send him a link to this in his DMs. He posts nothing but Hoochie Daddy fit videos and constantly tags us. No matter how many videos this guy makes on his Instagram, his TikTok, his Facebook, his Twitter, anything he makes it on. If someone asks, hey, what shorts you wearing in slide 3? What shorts you wearing in slide 12? Whatever fucking shorts he's wearing in any slide, he tags every single fucking brand. It's incredible. This dude does not do it for shout outs. He doesn't do it for free merch. He doesn't do it for shit. He's just a cool ass motherfucker who has been ordering from me consistently since I started. So shout out to him. I'm not going to mention his name because I don't know if he wants me to or not, but shout out to him. I'm going to send him a link so he'll be able to hear this at least. And if you're a follower of ours, then you know exactly who we're talking about, because we've posted him on our story tons of times. Every single time he tags us on our shit, we post it. Anyone, by the way, that tags us on our story with anything they buy, we add it to a highlight on our main page. So if you've ever tagged us in anything on your story and we saw it and reposted it, you can go review it on there. It's pretty fucking cool. I think, at least. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Nice. Dude, I love a good Hoochie Daddy short. Especially because, like, Papa been doing those fucking squats. And
goddamn right. And you know what? He's got long ass hair, lots of tattoos. If I were a girl, I might touch his butt. But if I'm a guy, don't need to. So I'm gonna touch his pee pee instead.
That's when you propose a bro date, man. And dude, I think that's the thing about last weekend that has me so hot and bothered, is because I got a 3-way bro date bromance. And like, if anyone's been married or in a long-term relationship, ladies, you gotta let your dudes go out. And fellas, you gotta let your girls go out. Because there's something about, like, hanging out with your friends, having that, like, same-sex hangout time that's just not the same as like, hanging out on the couch. You need to let your guys let loose. You need to let your girls let loose. Have a girls' night, guys' night. It's super healthy. It's so healthy for the relationship. And, you know, I've been in relationships in the past where my ex-girlfriend was always hesitant about me going out. And
I hate that.
Yeah, and she would always be super worried. But I mean, based on my recent Instagram posts of my little thirst trap when I was feeling myself and a little tipsy.
Bro, I love that video of you, though. Did it go viral?
Well, a lot of guys liked it. Oh, so, And honestly, that was what I was going for.
The bromance. That's right.
And, but dude, even Celeste these days, she gets worried when I go out, like, with my guy friends, not because of like anything, like I'm going to go talk to girls. Cause when I'm like, ew, girls, ew.
You're like, oh, I already had to impress this one into marrying me. I'm not trying to do this again.
Dude. Yeah. She knows already, like, how much, like I prioritize sleep terror over everything. I was about to say sleep token. I prioritize sleep terror over everything. And when I was like really drawing, I'd be like, dude, don't bother me. I'm drawing. So like, that's never going to be a problem. And also I could never understand guys who cheat, because how the fuck do you have the mental capacity to take that on? And like,
literally,
are you that bored that like you need these like this mental labyrinth of like, oh, I got the side chick, oh, I got my main girlfriend, and you're juggling it around? Like, it's so stupid. It's like at the end of the day, you're playing yourself all the time. But like I was saying, girls, let your guys go out. Guys, let your girlfriends go out. Quit being so insecure.
All do our thing.
Dude, you need to have that time. And more than anything, I just miss hanging out with my friends who like listening to metal and hardcore, and we get to fuck around. And but Celeste mainly gets concerned because I am a fun facilitator. And when the fun is going, if it's not fun, I will let you know 100%, and I will either leave or I will change the trajectory of the night and make it more fun. And so like with the karaoke thing and with the playlist thing, that's me being a facilitator to make sure that my guests are having fun, to solicit this like feeling of, oh, I never want to leave. And that's like a me like not wanting my friends to leave. And anytime anyone comes to hang out with me, you're not leaving until the early hours in the morning. These two dudes, they didn't leave until like 5 a.m. And funny thing is, the weekend before I hung out with Max, and the weekend before that I hung out with Dan, and both times we got fucking hammered and had the most fun possible. But
dude, I love like that. There's like,
I never want that to end.
No, so whenever I don't get to hang out with my little brother very often, but when we do, like just me and him, we get to have like bro time. And you know what real bro time's like. It's like what me and you did when I came to New York and we met up for the first time. We like actually hung out. The next day, you better have off or not have a lot going on. And if you do, I'll pray for you. But me and Bill, like the first time he had just gone through like this big breakup and moved, and he did all this shit on his own, and I didn't have to help him or anything. And I was so far away, like we live 4 hours away almost from each other, so I couldn't really help him move and do all this shit. The first time I went to go visit him, I came up, hung out for like 3 or 4 days. Bro, every single night we went and got like the dankest food, got some really good drinks, and then came back to his house and hung out and just bro timed it up. We'd get like take out from a Chinese restaurant and try everything that we've never tried. Like, that's the first time I ever tried frog legs before. It was at this Chinese joint in Dillsburg, fucking PA. And they're incredible. They're so fucking good. I love them. All kinds of shit that we got from there. We spent like $300 in takeout over the course of this weekend, just getting everything that we could to hang out and like experiment like food wise and just like drink and smoke some weed and shit. It was great, man. But when I get to hang out with Bill, we get to do that. And there's not many other people that I get to do that with. My friend Tom, I get to do that with. Diglett and Tony are people that I like to bro out with. Like,
Well, it sounds Tony like and you I. know, Justin wants to be that for you.
Yeah, no, Justin is for that for me for sure, because back in the day, you know, we were that. We were best friends. You know how you throughout life, like, you never have one best friend, but you do always have that one constant friend who's that always rock. Been there throughout everything. So Bill is that for me, as my little brother. But I've had so many best friends, and Justin, for sure, Justin Hayes, he was one of my best friends. When I moved back to Martinsburg, he had just moved there from Detroit. He's the one who convinced me to drop out of high school because it wasn't important. And I was like, you're right. And then my guidance counselor said the same thing. And I was like, you know what? My best friend said that. I'm going to listen to you. And then I did it. And look at me now. I fold t-shirts for a living and I draw pictures on people's skins. I know my color wheel.
That's not 100% accurate. You create a release for people. A release.
Man, you know what I do?
An escape out of their day-to-day.
Nobody keep it real. You know what I get to do for people? I get to help them survive life by getting to inflict pain upon themselves and get something out of it. They get to talk about all the shit or think about all the shit that they need to think about to get through all the pain I'm causing them. And then at the end of it, they get a cool picture out of it and a memory that we created together.
You're making people happy.
It's very powerful. I joke around about it a lot, and I say, oh, I just draw pictures for a living and all this bullshit. But it's complete magic, and I help people find their identity. I help people cope. I help people bond, get past trauma. It's literal therapy. I have not one time tattooed someone and them not open up to me somehow, in a small manner, in a huge manner. One time I was giving a dude his first tattoo, and he started talking about how he was talking about all these childhood things and all this shit. And he goes, man, I've never told anybody that. I don't even know if I realized that before. And I was like, tattoos will do that, bro. And he goes, holy shit. I was like, yeah, it's pretty powerful. And
well,
people don't
get
it.
You know what you should have done? You know what you should have said? You should have been like, well, this is how they milk the truth out of those prisoners in Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah, you want a cock meat sandwich, boy.
Pain is a weird thing. But after talking about the romance, so like this is one thing that I like battle with all the time is like, do I just like stay home by myself and just grind and like, you know, so one thing that I've told myself I need to do this weekend, because I've been putting it off for, we've had this podcast for now, this is the 12th episode. And I think since the first episode, I've been talking about ordering the tapestries. I am going to place the order this weekend. I have to do it. I have to do it because I've been putting it off for way too long, ordering new Sleep Terror stuff. But then again, like, I'm always like, oh man, I'm having this weird moment of FOMO where I want to go hang out with like my friends. And coincidentally, my sister is out of town on a business trip. My wife is in Vermont. So, me and my sister's boyfriend, I only have, one.
Oh, just the one sister?
Yeah. That's my best friend. She was my best person at, my wedding.
She has a boyfriend?
She does. I love him.
How long have they been together?
So they've known each other since high school and they've been together a long time, but they're like, they're so good together.
That's going to be hard for me to infiltrate.
I wouldn't let it happen. I love you. Okay. But I also,
I'm way too crazy for your sister.
My sister's way too crazy for you.
Oh, that just turns me on even more, John. Damn it. I'm going to look her
line?
Up.
Line? You're crossing the line.
I'm just kidding. No, but really. Well, tell me more about them.
Well, also, my sister's like 25 years old.
Okay.
But so
is that Harrison, too old? Is that too old for me?
Yeah,
that's too old for me.
Too old for you.
You thinking I'm like in the 20 to 21 range?
Well, dude, people are saying that millennials look young. And yeah, honestly, bro, if it wasn't for you calling me out on my age, I was riding high on my perpetual 17-year-old.
Sorry, guys. He is not the lost member of One Direction. He is, in fact, the lost castaway to the 12th season of Lost.
Nah, Survivor. Bro. I got my own boy band called Wong Direction. Wong Wei.
Oh, that's racist.
That's
racist. Now I sound like Bobby's co-host. That's racist. Oh, speaking of, I mean, I might as well meet. I've got my Eminem hair, so I might as well be that motherfucker.
Dude, I honestly like the bleach blonde hair.
Look, though. I haven't toned it properly, so it still has like a little bit of a yellow tint.
And yeah,
when I tone it properly, it should be almost white, which is what I'm preferring.
Nah, I think you should keep it that way, because this way it's got like a little, you know,
it's got a little dirtiness to it.
Yeah,
you almost think like you see it and you go, oh, that guy, oh, he's probably, nah, he's a criminal. And then you're like, but for some reason
he's a criminal.
I want to touch his butt.
You got to make sure the seat cushion matches the top.
You want to make sure the front matches the thunder. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
The front punter. So another bromance I wanted to shout out.
Wait, I wasn't done. About
fuck you.
Thing that I was talking about.
Hit me so with like, the phone then. Just keep talking then. What the fuck? Why do you let me interrupt you?
Because you were hitting on my sister via podcast.
Well, don't let her be so hot.
That's not my sister. What?
That was a that picture was of me.
That was weird.
I know.
But yeah, so I'm like contemplating, and I was thinking about him in the shower. See, that's how you know it's a bromance. That's the one, building up a bromance.
I'm the weird one. Okay. Yeah.
I was thinking about like, oh man, like should I reach out and be like, yo, girls aren't here. Let's hang out. You know, we've never really hung out one on one. And maybe we should. Maybe we should have a fucking guys' night. But I'm also like,
I'm gonna go ahead and say the way that you introduced it was pretty sus. And I'm gonna use their terminology when saying
we're so. Gonna run away together.
You were like, oh, I'm just in the shower thinking, man, maybe
no,
I never hung out with this guy by myself. Maybe I should text them.
No, I was thinking about maybe I should go out and like hang out and instead of like work myself to death. Because
okay, well, let me ask you this. Did you shoot?
I needed the Reese. I needed that. Never, bro. I make sure that shit is like Obama come back into office hunting down Obama. Osama. That shit's like.
Because the last episode you said something about trimming it everywhere and you were in Pube, so I gotta know.
I only trim it in my house.
Okay. But you didn't for him.
The alpha. Huh? No.
Okay, no homo then. Still some homo. I don't know. The Stanley does it for me. The Stanley.
We're talking about bromances. I think the no homo is out the window.
Bromances. It's kind of both.
So
you just anyway. You said it the American way. I said it the French way. Bromances.
But yeah, I'm thinking because he's been wanting to watch a fight with me and. Just so happens to be a fight this weekend, so might as well just wake up early, get my shit done, see if he wants to come over, and then I can ride the high from what I had last weekend. And I'm thinking like this is technically self care.
You're totally right. This is self care because you are. Setting yourself up for a good time. You're taking the time out to do something fun for you. And you're like, all right, I want to enhance this fun by having some hot dude over.
You're making it gay.
Am I making it gay or am I just pointing out the obvious? You were
no, you're making it
in the shower, man. And then you, it's got to be a fight.
I was thinking about the fight. I was thinking about like.
What kind of fight is it? Is it MMA?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course. Where they're wrestling, they're touching, sweating.
No, that shit's boring as fuck. I don't fuck with that.
Rubbing. Duggan.
I was thinking about bonding. Male to male bonding.
Yeah, male to male bondage. Get some duct tape out. Fucking.
But get this, though.
Show him who's boss.
This dude was like the best, the groomsman I didn't have. So he was invited to like the bachelor party, right? Because he's my sister's boyfriend. And my sister organized the bachelor party, which I couldn't have asked. Oh my god, this thing was like the best. We went to a mixology class and everything was a great surprise. She took me to like
you told me about thing. All this. I remember.
Oh, it's my pretty god, fucking bro.
Cool. Your sister is cool as shit. No jokes.
We went to a fucking aside. Burlesque thing, like a secret yeah. burlesque pretty bar sick. Where
it
my
was in another bar down some steps, right?
It was a speakeasy. My brother-in-law. Yes, yes. Bro, my brother-in-law, oh, God, this dude is, like, so blue-collar and, like, very borderline conservative. He saw a bearded lady, and he started questioning his sexuality. He had to step
like,
out.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, bro, it's a fake beard. It's a fake beard. Real tits.
How come I got a fake chubby? Beard. Oh, shit, John, I gotta get out of here. Give dude, it back to the prairie.
He actually got me a really cool gift out of nowhere. So I bought him a Spyderco knife for Christmas, and he surprised me with – no, I wouldn't want it.
You liar. Like,
dude, this – the gift versus a hooker, I would take this gift.
Whiskey flask.
He got me a fucking Benchmark bug out.
Bro.
And this thing is so much fun to play with.
Wait a second. How many inches?
Legal New York, it's 3.5. But
I was gonna say it looked like 3.5 to me, baby. I know what a little knife looks like. You know what I'm saying?
But dude, this knife is so much fun. And it's actually like on my my list. My knife list. So
that's pretty sick. I got one of your knives written down. G-Tech OTF. I'm gonna buy it for you. You can
I fucked up. Microtech. It's a Microtech. You can't. Because it's illegal in Pennsylvania. It's illegal in New York.
Oh, I know a guy. A G-Tech OTF? That's what you want.
Microtech.
That's what it's called.
Tactical knife.
A Microtech? That's it.
Yeah, that's the
brand. What happened to the G-Tech OTF?
I fucked up. I messed up.
So that doesn't exist?
It doesn't exist. G-Tech, I for some reason,
you're a real confused the two. You know that. And I, you know what? I'm not going to say that because your mother's so sweet. You're a son of a biscuit. Anyways, you got any more about bromances?
When you break up with a best friend, that shit hurts, bro.
Oh god, let me tell you.
Harder than oh
man, let me.
That's actually the main reason why I when you asked me to do the podcast originally, and I said no.
You were like, can I tell you about a bromance that was really weird for me to get rid of?
Sure. Only if I can air out my dirty laundry about mine.
Here's one that has always confused me, okay? So I've had many best friends. This was a best friend in a very transitional state in my life where I was living with my first female roommate who was not a partner and who I didn't, like, seek after sexually. Because as a guy, it's hard to not, when you're in your 20s, seek out any female sexually. You find them remotely attractive, you're going to shoot your shot. It's ridiculous. Our hormones are stupid in our 20s. Anyways, I'm living with this girl. I'm working at this restaurant. meet this dude who's cool. We start smoking some weed and like hanging out at this bar together with some other people we're working with. And then eventually he tells me that he has like some kind of lung cancer or some shit. And I'm like, oh, fuck. We're smoking all this weed together. I feel guilty. And he's like, nah, it's cool, man. I'm like getting a transplant. I have all this shit lined up. I'm like number four on this list. Dude, fast forward like 2 years. I've been like rooting for this guy to get this transplant, yada, yada, yada. He's never, ever shown me any proof or like shown me any kind of like indication that he needed any kind of help like this. So it seemed a little bit suspicious to me. And my roommate, she was always like, is this guy for real? Like, he smokes so much weed with us.
I don't think you can smoke weed
and be on a list. And he has like, he's on a list for like a double lung transplant and all this shit. And we're like, what the fuck? And we're going out to the bar, like getting fucked up with this guy, right? So then, lo and behold, month or two goes by after like a year or so of being this guy's pretty much best friend. And he tells me, hey, man, I'm going to the hospital. I'll be back in a few weeks. I'm like, okay. And then a couple months go by. I don't hear from this motherfucker. And then he just pops up back into work. Same restaurant we've been working at. He's like, hey, man, I'm all healed up. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, oh, I have my double lung transplant. I'm like, what? Yeah, man, I'm all healed up. I'm good. And he's using like a cane to walk around and like he has an oxygen bag on him and all this shit. And I'm like, oh shit, like this is for real. And I'm working with this guy every single day. And I'm like, this is just, it's still so weird. Just something's off, man. And then I get trashed this one night, dude, because I got a promotion. It was the first promotion I'd ever gotten at this restaurant, and it was a pretty big promotion. I got promoted to sous chef, and I'm like, I'm trashed on fucking champagne after a bunch of whiskey martinis or whiskey sours, rather, and I'm trashed on champagne. And I don't know if you've ever drank champagne and been drunk on it, but whew, you don't remember much, and you have a hell of a headache the next day. The hangover is the worst. You don't remember going to sleep. You don't remember nothing. So apparently I confronted this motherfucker and I was like, yo, show me your scars, bitch. Like, show me your transplant scars and all this shit. And he lifted his shirt up and there was nothing. He faked it all. He was like, bro, I went to rehab and I didn't want to tell you. And
that's so silly.
I faked all this and I had all these people in on it and I lied to all these people and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, bro, like you broke my heart. Like this is fucked. I knew something was fucked up this whole time. I knew something was fucked up. And he at least admitted to it. But, you know, the most fucked up part about all that was like he had, while I was suspicious of all this, he had, after the transplant, quote unquote, he had moved in with one of our other best friends and then fucked that guy's mom at a party and then told him the same night that he told me, oh, yeah, the transplant shit's all made up. He was like, oh, yeah, by the way, so-and-so, you know that night that I was, like, asleep in your mom's room and, like, I said that she just came in and went to sleep on the couch and shit. No, I fucked your mom that night. And we actually dated for like a month after. This guy was a real piece of shit.
Dude, so that's bromances, not a good friend.
Bro, bromances for me are something I am so weary of these days because I've had so many super close friends that have fucked me over in so many weird ways. Like this guy. Like who the fuck are you to fake needing a double lung transplant just to have a friend? What did you go through to do that? Like, I feel bad for that guy, but also, fuck him.
Yeah, and, I mean, the fact that he couldn't even be honest about going to rehab, like...
That's what fucks me up, because when I went to rehab, I was honest about it. I told everybody, like, this is where I've been, this is what I've been doing, I feel good about myself, yada, 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 this is where it's at. This is where I'm at.
Now, that's, a full-blown betrayal of trust right there.
Yeah.
Because, like, man. And the thing is, like, how are you going to say that without thinking like the person you're telling that to ain't going to feel a certain type of way, right?
Exactly, dog. Like, we were so close. This motherfucker, I used to have him sleep over my house all the time. All the time. And you know how I am, John. Like, if I've got $10, you got $5. I'm making sure that my homies are taken care of. And those of you listening that are super close to me when I've been down and out, you know damn well, I make sure if I'm starving, you're not. Because if I'm starving and we're close, chances are you are too, because we're going through some shit and we're trauma bonding, because that's what I do. I trauma bond with motherfuckers and I try to help them get themselves out of the mucky muck and dig themselves out of the holes when I'm in one. Because that's where I tend to meet people like this. Like, it's like a City in Color lyric, one of my favorite lyrics of all time. We found each other in the dark. I just saw John take a shot of something and he went all squirrely. You never see me make a face. I just saw it.
Fucking God damn, what is whiskey that shit? That my sister came back from Kentucky and she smuggled a bottle of whiskey in her Czech suitcase for me.
In all seriousness, I need to meet your sister.
Dude, she's great.
And I need to
You'd meet really like her. So
I would like to, in honor of you, I would like to meet them with your mom and make you all some food. Would that be cool?
Yeah.
Can I make you guys a meal?
Dude, my sister would love you, especially if you told, like, you drop that chef stuff, because
I'm not going to drop nothing but food. Bam!
Yeah, dude.
Bam! You got to throw in, like, 6 emerald clips right now of him, like, stirring pasta vigorously and, like, throwing a bunch of oil into a salad or something. I don't know. Your wizardry.
Dude, you should definitely, I would love for you to meet my sister and my mom.
All right.
First of all, my mom and mother-in-law know all about you. So, and I'm still really pissed off that my mother-in-law has more self-care stuff than sleep terror stuff at this point.
Oh, bam. You know why? Cause I'm sexier. Your mother-in-law, is she married?
My father-in-law just recently passed away. So no.
Rest in peace. Well, I'm gonna say, I'll buy us some flowers, I'll make you guys some dinner, and I'll write a nice note that says you're pretty and I love you. How's that?
I mean, that's good.
That's some handsome shit right there. I ain't trying to date you.
Looking, bro.
Okay. I ain't trying to date you. I'm just trying to say you're pretty. Keep it going.
She already knows. Bye.
I'm just giving her a wink. With a left eye. The left eye is better than the right. Remember that. Okay. TLC. Rest in peace, Left Eye Lopez.
I mean, today I was also thinking to myself while I was at the gym, like, man, my wife doesn't support my podcast. She doesn't post us on Instagram or Facebook, and I was like, oh, bless. That's right. She doesn't even really do that. So, but she always, every Thursday, like, no matter what, she'll be like, have a good podcast, and that's enough. Because that online shit is bullshit.
That is enough. The online shit doesn't matter. Let me give
it. And also because I think she's a little afraid. She's a little afraid of, like, what we say on the podcast. My mom, on the other hand, listens to it every episode.
Yo, I fucking love your mom. She's cool as fuck. And you know why? Because it was 4 episodes ago that you guys were chilling, hanging out beforehand, and I got to, like, see her and introduce myself. And
ever since then, before I was going on to Vermont, yeah.
Ever since then, I have told Diggy and all them, like, yo, someone that listens weekly is John's mom. And that is hype as fuck for me, because it's someone who, excuse me, it's someone that, like, all right, I don't consider our generation, like, a real deal generation, okay? We've gone through some shit.
I know, right?
But we haven't gone through anything nearly as much as like your mom's generation has, okay? And they're still here around kicking it and doing the same shit that we're doing, bro. So like your mom's generation and the one before are probably the greatest generation. And I would say that our generation and the next are probably the smartest generation, but also the biggest assholes. So I just have major respect. I have major respect for your moms and our generation. Whether there's a couple in between it or not, those are two that I respect. And just knowing that she listens to it's cool as fuck. I can't wait to actually be able to like meet her and like just bullshit with her and make fun of you.
Dude, she's cool as fuck. Like,
I'll be like, how do you feel about your son's 3-inch thick mustache?
She loves the mustache thicker than my penis. She loves my mustache at this point. She didn't like it when I used to do a Salvador Dali like,
kind of mustache. She didn't like the thin shit?
Nah, she likes it now. Okay. Like this Western type shit. I like it too.
You got a good one. I think it's great.
Dude, my mustache brings all the boys to the yard. So
speaking of boys, I want you to tell me about a bromance that went wrong for you.
All right, so the reason why, like, when you asked me to do the podcast, I think you asked me maybe when you were brainstorming it if I would be your co-host, and I said, I don't know because I just wrapped up like a podcast that I was doing before this. I know some people who listen from back then know it as the Alt Sides podcast or Alternate Side podcast with Marlon, Ginny, and John. It was a music podcast where we aired every Friday and we would review all of like the best scene, like hardcore punk, pop punk, alternative and metal music. And it was a lot of fun. It was like a 2-hour podcast. We shot the shit. We got hammered every single episode. And for those of you who've listened to that podcast, you guys knew me as like the guy who was super out of pocket and kind of belligerent and aggressive in those episodes. Anyway, the podcast started because my best friend at the time, Marlon, wanted to do this podcast featuring new music. And he and I had been friends for since I want to say 2012, 2013, our podcast started in 2018 or 17. So we had been friends for a really long time. And we were the best of friends. Like, this dude was the most selfless dude I ever met. Biggest supporter of Sleep Terror I ever had before Sutton. Like, I'm talking about, if I had a fucking trade show in New Jersey, this dude was there. If I had a fucking trade show in the basement of a fucking coffee shop for a Halloween thing, he was there. Like, wow. I asked him, there was no buts. It was just yes. And because I don't have a driver's license, he would offer to drive me to the trade to these shows. And we went to like tons of concerts. We bonded over so much music. Like, his favorite hardcore band, like one of his favorite bands was No Bragging Rights. And it just so happened that Sleep Terror at that time was actively sponsoring No Bragging Rights. So I was like, do you want to meet them? And so I took Marlon to go meet Ryan, the bass player at the time, and we hung out. We had drinks before the show. And dude, it was such a fun gig too. No Bragging Rights was the headliner. No Bragging Rights was a co-headliner with Comeback Kids and Down Presser. It was a really fun hardcore show. And we had so much fun. And I honestly think that like the best bromances happen within like metal and hardcore, especially when you go to concerts together.
I agree.
Because it takes your friendship to a whole nother level. And
you could say relationship.
It is a relationship. And so, like, Marlon was my go-to guy to go to concerts. Like, we had been to fucking, like, if it was my birthday, he would be like, let's go to this concert and stuff like that. And if it was, but the thing was, like, this is how deep the friendship got. Because if there was a concert and it was, like, his birthday, we're not doing the concert. We're going and doing whatever you want to do. Same thing with my birthday. And that's actually the reason why I've never seen Tiny Moving Parts. 3 years in a row, Tiny Moving Parts has played close to his birthday in New York. And I have not been able to see them because I knew he didn't like them.
Motherfucker, we're going to go see Tiny Moving fucking Parts.
So,
this year.
And, like, we actually went to go see Pig Destroyer together on my birthday because he liked Pig Destroyer. He actually, like, got into a fight because there were guys in the show who were crowd killing. And he and I, we were just like, bro, we need to get these dudes out. So we fucking, you know, we basically jumped these two dudes who are crowd killing girls. And we thought it was over. I was like, I'm going to go to the bathroom, bro. I'll be right back. And so
bing, bong, bing. Someone else
I'm
came
going
out.
To the bathroom. And next thing you know, Marlon comes in, head's bleeding and all this shit. And I'm like, oh, my God, what the fuck? We need to go find these fucking guys. And it's just like, you know, that's how like deep the friendship was that like that shit like actively got me so pissed off. I was about to fucking just go through the crowd and just bulldoze everyone.
Dude, of course.
And he was like, no, let's just go. And his girlfriend was like, no, like, you know, just to like keep the peace, we had to leave. But fast forward to like where things went awry, my wife and Marlon, we were at a block party at it close to his house. And somehow, like, we were all getting really drunk. It was a really fun time. Mabel, my 14-year-old dog, was there. We were doing, I was doing, you know, some booger sugars. And I was getting down, as I do.
Skiing.
And so was everyone else, though. So was everyone else. And we're having a good time. Beer pong, everything like that. It was a really good time. The night was great. Oh, hi, baby. And then suddenly, my wife and my best friend at the time, Marlon, start talking about, like, Henry Ford and the fucking... the fucking, you know, conveyor belt production line. And my wife was like, well, Henry Ford's a racist. And Marlon was being pragmatic about it. He's like, yeah, but without him, we wouldn't have cars. We wouldn't have, like, we wouldn't have Ford Motors, which he's not wrong, you know?
Yeah, but.
And that, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know.
We wouldn't have mass production. And somehow that turned into this huge argument about how my best friend's a racist. Meanwhile, his fucking girlfriend is Korean. So it just got like so
no fucking sense.
It just got so blown out of proportion, and then it just kind of just left a really sour taste in everyone's mouth. And he was going to be my best man if my sister wasn't my best person.
I'm glad your sister was instead.
Well, she was always going to be, you know, best friends by factory settings.
Bro, slight interjection. Mm-hmm. I have only one blood brother who's older, but Bill is my only who I claim as a sibling, little brother. And when I was getting married, I made him my best man, and it pissed off my actual blood, quote-unquote, brother so much that he made me call them both best men. But I still had Bill sign the actual...
I didn't know that Bill wasn't your blood brother.
No, we're not related by blood. Not at all.
That makes it even that like bond even deeper. That's yeah, crazy.
It really does. He's a piece of shit just like me, and his older brother pretty much treated him like shit growing up, just like mine did. So we adopted each other in high school. We met in like in 10th grade, he was in 9th grade, and we were like, yo, we're brothers. And from then on, we just told everyone that we're brothers. We even had teachers that were like, oh, yeah.
You had me fooled. Dude.
Yeah, no.
Even when you were talking to me about Athame, you were like, that's my little brother's black metal band. Dude, I literally thought.
He's my little brother. That's exactly like, and his mom, I don't speak to my mom or my dad, but I do speak to his family, and his family is great, and I love them. And I call his mom, and just a couple of weeks ago when I was in Hanover doing my guest spot, we went out to dinner with Bill, his mom, and her husband, Mark, and that's my family, bro. Like, they're closer to me than I've ever been to anyone in my blood family, because they're not real. They're just blood. It's different to me.
That's cool, man. That you got to basically choose your like
pretty much my entire family.
Yeah.
I've got Tony as my dad. Bill's mom as mom. Bill's my little brother. Mark, her husband, is super cool, and I love that dude. Bill's actual brother Sam is really cool, and love him too. And his husband Grego, they're really cool. Sam's a scientist, and they've Sam lived
the
in
scientist.
Yeah, dude. Sam is actually
Sam the science
actually,
man.
He's actually more of a scientist. He's a scientist, but he's like what you would imagine Breaking Bad, like that type of scientist. He's like trying to cure all.
He makes meth.
Type of scientist, like.
I'm sorry, that doesn't math. I mean, we established that I'm not good at math, but.
No, that maths, bro. I'm talking like he's like a chemist, but is trying to cure autism type of fucking scientist. He's like up there. He's like one of the first of his type in all this fields and all this shit. I'm not smart, so I don't know how to explain it to you other than the goddamn guy is a genius, and I look up to him. Either way, that's Bill's actual blood brother. And then, yeah, I've got like Jackie and Julie and Diglett, they're like my siblings, and Diggy's kind of like my brother as well. I kind of look at us as like twins. Like if I were a Virgo,
and you guys are 100% twins. Like the energy, yeah. is like a one to one look,
and how we dress, and like just like everything we do, we're like into what we're into, and like serious about that, and like we love what we love, and we hate what we hate. Very passionate people.
Well, I will say this, bro. Like, you know, I love your hair, and I loved it even when you had like the little emo swoop where you dyed it.
Oh yeah.
And I love the blonde, but I'm sorry. I'm a sucker for a comb over. Diggy wins, dude. I love that, and I love that he does it every day. Like that's
I gotta say, that's cool. I gotta. I'm always shouting him out.
That shit is on point.
Like. His hair is always on point, and I went through, there's phases I went through before we met where I got my hair cut religiously, and I'll send you some pictures if you want to post one for like the cover page of me sexy in a chef outfit with my hair slicked back. I used to do like the Richie Rich slick back, gel slick back, but like long, it was like mobster slick back.
Are we talking like chef. Peaky Blinders, Arthur?
Oh, we're talking,
or are we talking like Godfather.
We're talking Peaky Blinders, straight up bald fade, scalped from here up, just slick back, fucking cutting my wrists in a goddamn kitchen. Cut my wrist and feed you duck. Cut my wrist and feed you duck. You know what I'm saying?
That's the cover photo. You need to send me a picture of you. No. Because I know you and I both went through long hair phases.
Oh, bro.
That's the cover photo.
I already planned on later this week. I was going to post because I'm doing a convention next month, 420 weekend. We're having an after party at the shop, 9 Morgantown Street, Uniontown, PA, 15401, 420 weekend. Saturday, we're having an after party at our shop, 420 weekend. after the convention in Morgantown, PA, or Morgantown, West Virginia, sorry. But yeah, anyways, I'm going to post a picture of me from my MySpace days of me with long hair with like a swoop. So I'll send you that one for the cover.
Dude, yep. Because mine is going to be the, during my death metal days. I'm talking camo pants, combat boots. My hair was down.
If you want, if you want, I'll send you long. No, I had long hair in that one, but I'll send you, if you want, I'll send you long hair, camo, short, Cannibal Corpse Sutton. Which, by the way, give my shirt some respect this week, motherfucker.
Put some respect on that job for a cowboy.
Put some respect on the shirt.
I saw that.
That I've literally had since I was 16 years old. I am 34, my friends.
Dude, you're looking good.
I'm fucking hot. Look at that. Very minimal sag on the belly. Tits, almost flat. Tats, sick. Nipples, pepperoni sized, not salami sized. What's up? I'm talking mini pepperoni. I'm not talking the extra. Oh, yeah. Ladies, if you're looking, don't. I'm still celibate. Go fuck yourself. I don't care. You can't thirst trap me, bitch. I have a fatter ass. Plus, if you are trying to thirst trap me, I'm an ass man. I ain't a titty boy. Get it right. Get it tight.
That's the other reason why Celeste is never worried. Because, like, for some reason, like, they give off a very top vibe towards, like, gay men.
What do you mean?
Like,
you're going to have to explain this to me because I'm literally autistic.
Oh, well, from someone who lived on Christopher Street for a long time. So Christopher Street is where the Stonewall Bar is.
Is that like a gay neighborhood?
Yes.
Just say it's a gay neighborhood, John. It's okay. It's 2024. There's gay neighborhoods. It's fine. You're Chinese.
Well, it's like the gay, like, Mecca of New York or was.
Okay. That's
where the Stonewall Rebellion is.
The Gecko.
And, so
this is the LGBTQ plus soup.
Well, this is back when it was just like LG.
Okay.
Back in my day.
We were talking.
That's all right.
Okay. Back in your day.
You know, there were girl bars and there were guy bars. But for some reason, I've just always given off that vibe. And even in my thirst trap, it's just like, if you look in the comments, it's just all dudes. It's just all dudes. And I'm totally fine with that.
It's okay. Yeah, no, I'm there with you. It's happened to me many times where I give off that vibe, but I think it's because we're so secure in our masculinity and our heterosexuality that we're okay with pushing the boundaries. And that makes,
well, that's not true. That's not, I'm totally fine with it. I honestly, like, I love it, but you're the one who's getting DMs from girls who are like, oh my God, what you said really resonated with me. And then I'm the one who's like,
you're right.
I'm the one who's like, yo, what's your workout regimen, bro?
Yeah, you know, you're right.
And yeah, like, right. Someone was even like, when I posted that thirst trap, someone even asked, like, do you use TRT? Are you on trend? Oh, I'm like, God. Nah, bro, I'm natty, baby. I'm fucking natty.
I thought you were going the other direction with this, and you were saying that a bunch of gay guys were commenting, but it's just a bunch of straight dudes being like, yo, what's your workout looking like?
No. It's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of both.
Okay, so there was some gay dudes in there being like, yo, flex that shit. Pop that pussy. Let me see that shit. Bounce it over.
I got that boosie for you.
I've got that boosie. Oh, well, I want to say this. I'm tired, dude. And
close us out.
It's been a long night, so I want to say that I appreciate you guys for tuning in. I hope that you've enjoyed us rambling about bromances and or John's sexual preference. He's totally gay.
My sexual preference is yes.
Tell me where you can find us, John.
You can find us on anywhere you like to stream podcasts, whether it's Spotify, Amazon, Google. If you want to look at us, if you want to watch us, YouTube's the best bet. Goes just search, you know, search Self-Care Disciples Podcast. We're up there. Honestly, I highly recommend you guys watch the YouTube because you get to see us, you know, in motion.
Yeah.
Not that we get make any money off of any of this.
We don't make shit.
I just think it's way funnier over video. So
why?
Make sure to
why the fuck is it funnier over? Tell them. Tell them why. Tell them what the fuck.
I can't, bro. They're just gonna have to watch to find out. We all fuck right around. You come to find out. That's how
yo, it is. Check it out. If you listened, I appreciate it. And if you liked it, you're cool. But if you didn't, fuck you!